Case number 116A, Patrick Oki, in a matter of poor consideration, he elected not to have counsel.
Good morning, Mr. Oki.
Good morning.
So you have waived your right to have counsel?
Yes. Yes.
So for the record, I need to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Are you aware that you have the right to have an attorney represent you at this hearing?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Do you understand that if you don't have one, that one could be appointed for you?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Do you understand that you will be acting as your own attorney and we won't treat you any differently, better or worse? Than
yes, I understand that.
And that the decision that gets made today will be final, that you can't go back and say, oh, I didn't have an attorney, so I want it to do over.
Yes, I understand that too.
Okay. All right. Are you under the influence today of any medication or anything else that might impair your judgment?
Well, as you know, I'm under the chemotherapy right now, so I'm not feeling well. I mean, I feel nauseated. Mm-hmm. So,
but does it affect your judgment?
My mental, no.
All right. So, having discussed this, you are ready to proceed without counsel?
Yes.
Okay, we will then. All right. So, we're going to hear some reports on your progress.
Okay.
Then you'll have an opportunity to speak on your own behalf.
Okay.
And then we'll have some discussion with you.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Oki has improved cognitive skills, and he recently became community due to a reduction of minimum. I am working on a transfer packet, but due to his situation, I do believe he should be paroled. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Oki put down his wife as a residence, which has been confirmed. He has a serious medical condition which requires several months of treatment. So if parole is an option, he has a residence.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Oki, what would you like to say on your own behalf?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for reducing my minimum term to allow me to have this hearing today. I do have colon cancer, and I'm currently going through treatments every day. It's radiation treatment along with oral chemotherapy, and it's starting to take a real toll on me. I feel nauseated all the time, and one of the biggest concerns is I don't have like control of my bowels sometimes, and so I really would appreciate if I could get paroled with my family so I can be better taken care of. And even my oncologist told me that prison is not a good place to have treatments because I could pick up some kind of disease and it could impair my health even further. Mm-hmm. As far as my past, I know that I'm very sorry for what I did. I have, really regretted doing what I did. I know that I should have known better, and I'm working on all the time to be a better person. I truly believe in karma, and so the way I do things, I'm always trying to help people, follow the rules. So no matter what, I'm never gonna violate any law or anything that would be unethical or immoral. I've been in prison for 7 years, and I've been always working on trying to be a better person. I do have a young family. I have 3 kids. My youngest is 7 years old, and my older 2 kids, their mother passed away when I was in prison as well. So. They've also been suffering because of my actions. I really regret what has happened. My goal is to try to beat this cancer so I can t- take care of my family. But I really want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I'm sorry that you're suffering from cancer. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand what you're saying about how uncomfortable the treatment can be. Yeah. I also need to tell you that if it were not for your cancer, I would not be approving a parole for you.
Okay.
You know, the extent, the seriousness and the multiplicity of what you did. Was really quite awful. Yeah. I also would like to say to you that hopefully you will beat this cancer. Yeah. And when you enter the workforce again, I think that you should never be in a position where you're managing funds again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it sounds like you have family support and they're ready to receive you back into the home.
Yes.
Yeah. And I really empathize with your concern about your children. They have a lot to deal with at a very young age. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah. All right, I don't have anything else. I'm impassioned with colleagues.
Okay.
Good morning to you, Mr. Oki.
Morning.
Just wondering, you know you have a restitution of $435,000.
Yes.
You it indicated you have a personal account of $330,000. Is that incorrect?
That's my retirement account.
Okay. Are you going to ever be able to pay some of that restitution off?
I will, yes.
Yeah. You know why? I'm just looking ahead. Colon cancer is a serious cancer, but that's not as serious as some of the other cancers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a serious one. I know it's really serious. But one day, if you want to go ahead and get, you know, you're up to 2037 with us, and that means you're going to still be reporting to parole and stuff like that. But if you ever wanted to get a reduction, in your case in some way, a government department or something like that. I know that the parole board looks at that restitution issue. So I think it's a huge one. I haven't seen one as large as this. But if you're in that position that you can pay it off, that would be the best. Then you can apply.
It's gonna get paid off.
Yeah, this is the final future. And the board I know, other people in line of the board, they always look at restitution in these kind of cases, whether it's paid off or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because individuals like yourself are not usually violent. What they are is they just have this, you know, restitution. So if you can try and address that in your mouth, then, and I know you have a lot of things on your plate, but if you do, are you able to address it, then you can then apply for other things that, to apply for other things to go ahead and be discharged, things like that.
I understand.
Okay, because I know that people have, you know, they do really well when they get outside, and you'll do really well. But then they go ahead and say, I've been doing so well, and after about 5 years on parole, I want to just go ahead and not just get out completely. So they submit all this paperwork and all the recommendations, and everything is perfect. But parole board looks at that restitution and denies it.
Okay.
So I see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So good luck to you on your cash too.
Thank you.
So Mr. Oki, following up with that, what is the actual plan for you to make restitution?
Okay, so this company that I stole from was a company that I founded, and the company is not against me. It was my former partners that made the criminal complaint. So I have a good relationship with the victim, which is the new employees that took over the company from me. So So I have a agreement to for them to buy me out once I get out, and they also have a life insurance on me to pay for the sales price if that ever happens. So they're likely to just offset my restitution on what they owe me.
That's a good plan. Sorry, I didn't know that.
You have an agreement with the victims?
Yes.
Is that in writing?
I have a written agreement to sell the company, and the sales price shall be negotiated at a later time.
Okay.
But because I was the majority owner, I had a life insurance prevention for my retirement. So it's a life insurance of $5.5 million. And that was to be used to pay off my sales price when I retire. And that policy is still in effect. So if I do pass away, most of that money is going to go to my family, but it's going to offset against what I owe to the company.
What about plans to use some of your retirement account to make restitution?
Well, I don't know the cost of cancer, so that's the biggest focus right now, to be able to pay for my living as well as the medical costs. And I do plan on, if I do beat this, I do want to go back to work. And I'm hoping I can at least work remotely while I'm still receiving the treatment, if I'm okay. And if I can make excess money, then I can pay the restitution. I know that there's going to be a minimum that I have to pay while I'm on parole. But it's up to the company and what they want to do as well.
So, if you were required to make payments out of your personal funds?
Well, I don't have personal funds other than what's in my IRA account.
Oh, so it's in an IRA?
Yes.
Okay.
So if I pull it out, I get taxed on it.
Right. Yeah. Is it a Roth or a regular?
It's a regular IRA.
Regular IRA.
Actually, it's called a SEP IRA. So it's actually post-tax. But the penalty would be a 10% penalty.
When does the penalty lift?
Is it by age? I hit 65 years old.
And what are you now?
55.
Okay. So this agreement of sale, how close is it to?
It's executed. It was executed before I went to prison. They were to pay for the health care of my children for the first year, pay for my health insurance up to a certain year, I don't remember. The sales price was initially at $4 million, but it's subject to negotiation. And I'm also entitled to accrued interest on that. And also I get back my capital that I put in.
So when can you expect to receive anything from that? I know those provisions are in place.
Well, it all depends on how much the company can afford to pay me back each month. So
it's going to be in increments.
Yeah, they can't afford the lump sum payment. That's the purpose of the life insurance policy. But they're supposed to pay monthly, and that's kind of like my retirement. Once I retire, had I retired from the company, they would be paying me accrued interest or interest every month until I pass away. Then the life insurance kicks in and pays off the sales price.
Okay, so who are these partners or buyers?
The managing partners, Lucas Singh, and also other partners, Tyler Kimura, and I can't remember the third partner right now.
So none of those individuals were the complaining witnesses?
No, those four complaining witnesses have retired, left the company before I was indicted.
Okay. So do you have any dealings or contact or need to with any of the four complaining witnesses?
No.
Okay. So there'll be a no contact provision as
understood,
part of your
yeah.
parole. Yeah. We want to make sure that there is no reason for you to have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason there are other individuals that become questionable as to whether or not, you know, they are fall into the category of victim from the offense, all of the persons that are involved in the agreement of sale, they were not victims of crimes?
No, the only victim in my case is the company. Those four complaining partners were dismissed as victims by the appellate court.
The four witnesses? Witnesses?
The complaining witness, yes. They're not victims of my crime.
We had them listed as victims.
Yeah, did they take it?
They were initially listed under my judgment, but the appellate court had said that only the company Spire is the victim.
I'm not sure that's probably correct in that regard, because these victims, they wrote compelling letters.
I know, but they're not victims. You can look at the ICA's opinion.
Does any restitution, is any restitution owed to them?
Initially it was, but then now it's only directed to the company because of the appellate ruling.
Okay. Okay, so the idea that we're talking about now is anyone identified as a victim of the scheme or the fraud?
It's only the company.
Okay, well, before, so are you saying that the four complaining witnesses are not owed any money?
That's correct.
Okay, the company is?
Yes.
Is the new buyers keeping the name? The company name?
Yeah. Initially it was PKF Pacific Hawaii. When I got arrested, we changed the name to Spire Hawaii. I sold the company to the three employees that were running my three divisions, and they became partners of that company.
Okay. And you have all of the documents for the sale of the company?
Yes, I have it back in my building.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you on the front end, I'm going to go back in time here. I don't believe I sat on the minimum hearing. Mm-hmm. Can you just give me an overview or a summary of what motivated your involvement in the offense?
I just didn't want them to know how much I was getting paid, so I lied to them. And I took the money without letting them know.
So you didn't want to let who know?
The four partners. So yeah.
Why is that though?
Because I own 77% of the company, it was based on a percentage of the profits. At the same time, these four partners are getting paid more than what their percentage of ownership is. So say if they own 5% and they make $1 million, they're only entitled to $50,000 per year. But they were getting paid about $216,000 a year. So they were going in a deficit. But I'm getting a lot more money, and because our partnership agreement keeps everyone's compensation confidential, I didn't want to let them know how much exactly I was getting paid, so that way they wouldn't ask for more money, basically.
But the agreement locked in their percentage?
Yes, we had a partnership agreement based on the equity percentages, that's how much they would get paid.
Okay, so if they were locked in and they were only entitled to the percentage in the agreement, then right. Why would it matter if they knew?
Because when I formed the company, I had to make sure that they stayed with the company, so I had to pay them more than what they were entitled to, with the thought that as we made more profits, it would reverse, and they would get more percentage profits, and their pay would be, monthly payments would be evened out.
So the profits that were made above their agreed upon interest, they were entitled to that, right?
They were entitled, but they were getting paid more.
But the more could be defined as based on how well the company was doing, right? Meaning the more you made, the more people would earn.
That's true, but you have to keep in mind, I'm also entitled to that profit as well, right?
Right, so, but your floor was much higher at the 77% than it was.
Right, but I wasn't getting the 77%. I was only getting paid like less than that. So I wasn't pulling out all my money. I have to keep the money in the company. So
So you weren't paying yourself up to your 77% interest?
I was not. I was owed more money. So when I wanted to pull more money in because I'm still entitled to more money, I lied about that.
Okay, so let's talk about the employment on parole.
Yes.
So once you are medically cleared, if you are and you have to seek employment, what are you going to do for employment?
I have another accounting company that was operating after I sold my previous CPA firm. It's called SecPars. I was planning on reactivating that company so I can get private insurance under that company. And then I'll do contract work with various companies that I still have a relationship with, primarily probably tax return help.
So what if you are prohibited from working in the industry? What's your plan B?
I would have to look to see what I'm prohibited from doing. Right now, the accounting industry is in need of a lot of accountants.
Well, it kind of puts you in a situation that is going to cause concern, right?
Mm-hmm.
From dealing with other persons' finances, bookkeeping, having access to this and that. That's going to be a major concern on parole, and
right,
you're likely not going to be allowed to have access to anyone else's books, negotiable instruments, being a financial advisor, getting into business arrangements. I mean, it all depends on what the scope of that employment is.
Mm-hmm.
But if it falls in the scope of what happened in the instant offenses, then you can pretty much rule that out.
Yeah, I understand. I won't be able to have access to funds or other people's funds, but I was thinking that there's a lot of detail work that goes behind accounting. I can do that. That has nothing to do with anyone's funds. Taking raw data and putting into a spreadsheet and analyzing it for them, preparing for audits, preparing for tax returns.
But it also exposes their confidential and personal information to you, right?
Right.
So that, in my mind, that's a concern. So the reason I'm talking about it now is because when it comes up on parole,
mm-hmm,
you may have to reinvent yourself. Meaning, if you're not allowed to work in the industry, depending on what you're proposed to do, then you gotta have a plan B.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me just jump in and say this. That's why, you know, two things I know that I don't think you're gonna be able to work in a confidential area of CPA work that you can deal with, you know, be trusted with other people's personal information. The other thing is the parole doesn't allow you to do self-employment. So it's just the reality of how this thing operates. Let me give you an example. There was a man that came in, he was a tremendous contractor,
mm-hmm,
made a lot of money, but he's gonna go on parole. And so he understands now that he could have just restarted his company. It could, you know, he made tons of money, but now he's gonna have to work at City Mill and just be a salesperson because he's not self-employed, which is part of the rules, and he's basically has a skill, which is his ability to know electrical contracting. So he fulfills those things. Your situation where you think that you're going to go back, reactivate, go back to this accounting when you have all of this right here is probably not going to happen.
Okay.
Okay, so you have to think about what you're
doing. So the problem I fall back that I started to get interested in while I was in prison is like perhaps doing like legal work. I've been helping other inmates like getting their traffic fines converted to like community service.
Yeah,
so.
But then the problem is you're acting as a lawyer without a license.
No, I would be like a paralegal to an attorney.
Okay, but I understand what you're saying, but it's going to still involve confidential information, and that's going to be a problem. So
okay,
you're going to run into that problem. That's why I'm saying in the end, you're going to say, oh, let's discharge me out of pro. I can see that already.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when you're off paper, you do whatever you want. But no one's going to let you off paper when you have almost $500,000 of restitution. That's
okay. So once that's paid off, then
you're off paper.
Okay.
Then You don't have anybody looking over your shoulder. Okay. You're done.
All right.
That's why I brought it up.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I wasn't aware of all of this.
That's the truth. I see it. Yeah. And that's all your situation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Where are you going from?
Yeah. How come you're not going to live with your dad? You indicated once you went to live with your dad.
I'm sorry?
How come you're not living with your dad? You indicated once that you wanted to live with your father. But
my dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, so now he's at an assisted living home and they have to sell
the
home.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the way life is.
Okay.
All right, so,
yes, of course. Of course.
Okay, so we're going to grant you parole on what's called a chair descent basis, which means that your residence is going to be to an appropriate residence, which means that parole has to approve the place where you would be living.
Okay.
You will also have some restrictions on your employment options as we discussed today.
Yeah. Is employment required while I'm going to treatment though?
So, yeah.
No, probably not.
Right.
But that, you discussed that with your parole officer. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the whole reason that we're paroling you at this point
is right, I'm not sure it's going to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
But. We're assuming that your treatment is going to be successful.
I hope so too.
Yeah. So that's why we're cautioning you about the things that you need to anticipate, and actually treatment as uncomfortable as it is, perhaps an opportunity to think through what some of your options might be to support yourself going there.
Right.
Yeah.
So then the lights changed it to a
Oh, all right. So it will be a direct parole because your residence has been approved.
Just
okay.
I want to say, do you need to serve in a week? Because the residence is done, so we just need to cut the order.
We could do either the 5th or the 12th.
Yeah. Up to you.
Okay.
The fifth.
Okay, March 5th.
March 5th.
Alright. So your release day will be March 5th.
Okay. I'm sorry, is there any way I can go home earlier because of my situation? I'm not sure if you received the letter from my oncologist, but he said that I have a huge risk being here. And it's only getting worse. Like, I'll be honest with you, I pooped in my pants already twice. I'm trying to hold it up right now, but it's very terrible right now.
Yeah.
And it's only gonna get worse.
Is there an infirmary here you can stay in?
We have an infirmary, but it's not 24 hours.
Try for the 26th, Mary?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
2/26.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to need to take a picture of you before you leave.
Okay.